Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
When I was in college, as this guy was telling us that he was a part of, when I was going through college, there's not a whole lot of money around. You're studying, you're trying to do some part-time jobs and all those types of things. And I remember I parked my car in community car park, and our college demanded that we actually go on a mission trip, which was absolutely awesome to do. And so I parked my car and I went away for 2 weeks to do sort of like missions work. And when I came back, I noticed that my car had all this like white stuff all over it. So I was really fascinated by what are these white things all over my car? Well, anyway, some of you know what they were. And so they were parking fines. But listen, not just one parking fine for every day of the week. It was a parking fine for every hour. Back in those days, it was for every hour that you were like... So, like, the thing was just littered. I think they were just having a laugh, to be honest. Let's see how many parking fines we can get on this guy's windscreen. Anyway, literally, there were, like, so many of them. There were so many of them that I just thought, you know what? I've really got to do something about this. And I did what a good, responsible college student should do, and I put them in my sock drawer. And there they stayed for a year. Well, some of you know what happens if you do that. Because the initial fine, I think back then, was 38 cents. That's how old I am. No, that's not true. They were about $30 back then. And so it was $30 times 6 zillion. But you know what happens is that's not what actually becomes the cost. You know what happens is it then goes to court. It goes to parent court. I just taught some of you young kids something, right? It goes to court. And then what happens is that $30 fine turned into a $130 fine. And if you don't respond the first time, then it doubles again. So each one of those fines were around the $380 now. Now, you know, considering it was 1908, it was very, you know what I mean? It was like, that was a lot of money back then. And so anyway, I did what every responsible person is supposed to do, and I just waited until I got married. She's a lovely woman over there, guys. If you knew the suffering that she's had to endure. You know, tall, dark, handsome, she got nothing. She got poor, broke, short, So anyway, my wife ends up discovering all these fines. And like, seriously, I think it totaled about $8,000 at this point in time. Yeah. Look at you. Oh, as if you've never... What, you paid every fine? Anyway. So, Jeff Kennett comes into power. Some of you remember this man. And he says, you know what? Our government in Victoria is owed millions of dollars from unpaid parking fines, and a lot of it was unpaid because people it got away on them, like me, and so they just gave up. Now the only problem with that is that because you had unpaid parking fines, if they saw your car, if the police saw your car, they would, you know, put the clamp. And so whenever I would see a police officer, you know, like, I'm just driving normally, but you know the guilt, knowing that if he knew what I really was doing, and, you know, that he would just pull me over and shoot my car or do something. And so, honestly, I remember one day I was in Fitzroy, and I saw a police car coming up, and it just started to consume me. The guilt started to consume me to the point where I started to drive erratically for no reason at all, and I actually did a U-turn right in front of him. And I'm thinking, what are you doing? Just drive normally. But the guilt just like, he knows. And isn't it funny? When you're guilty, it actually changes your behavior. It really, like, he didn't know a thing. He probably didn't care either. But it mattered to me. Well, Jeff Kennett comes along and he says, listen, these people are never going to pay their parking fines. So what he did is he actually had an amnesty. Yeah, he did. He basically had a period, some of you, yeah, you remember the amnesty. He had a period of time where if you just went and paid your fine, you could pay just the original amount. And so we thought, let's take up the option. So we saved up the $18 that we had, and we went down to the RTA. Do you know what shocked me? I went down to the RTA thinking I was going to be the only guy down there. Mate, there was every VL driving muzzer. We all came out of the woodwork, mate. We were all there, the whole lot of us. The RTA are like, we've never seen these people before. That's because they're all so guilt-ridden. But the amnesty brought us all, like, forgiveness? A second chance? I might take up this option. And so I, like many others, took up the option of the amnesty. And you know what? Once that debt was cleared, it was like, now I could walk, now I could drive past a police officer at 130, that's not true. But now it was like, just, how many of you know the feeling was amazing? Well, you know what? I think that's a great illustration, a great parallel for how some of us are doing life. Because see, I didn't want to hang out with a police officer. I didn't want to go to a court. I didn't want to go anywhere that could possibly get me in trouble because I felt like I was guilty in their presence. You know, you don't like hanging out with people who make you feel guilty. And do you know why a lot of people don't like hanging out with God? Do you know why a lot of people don't like going to church? Because it's the constant reminder that you owe a lot of money. Wow. That you owe God a lot. Because you know, and I know, that we've done a lot of things wrong. And why would you want to hang out with a God who knows everything that you've done wrong? And we owe him a lot. And we've sinned. And we've hurt people. And we've done things wrong. Why would we want to hang out with him? So I'm not shocked when there's a whole community out there that say, church, why would you want to go to church? What they're really saying is, why would you want to hang out with the big police officer in the sky? That's what they're really saying. And I know, guess what? I really get it. But what they don't understand is, do you realize there was an amnesty? Do you realize that there was an opportunity that you don't have to be guilty anymore? You don't have to be shocked. You don't have to run away. The amnesty has gone out, and the amnesty is called the cross of Jesus Christ. He paid your spiritual fine. See, my illustration lacks because I actually had to pay the original fine at least. The illustration would work perfectly if I told you that someone else came along and paid my whole fine off. The illustration would work perfectly because that's exactly what Jesus did, friend. Friend, you don't even need to pay for your original little sin. You don't even need to pay for that. But, everyone say but. No, not good enough, but. Do you know if I didn't go down to the RTA and take up the offer, I would still have those fines upon fines upon fines upon fines. And you know what? Jesus has paid the price, but if you don't take up the offer, friend, you will, that season will pass you by. Now listen, not on earth. That season will never pass you by on earth. The offer is open until the day you die. It is open. He's not going to close it until you take your final breath. And some of you go, oh, great. I'll just wait until I'm 97. Well, I was 17 years old. I was healthy. I was fit. I thought I had a whole lifetime ahead of me. And I took off from Ascot Vale and I was driving off to Brunswick and a taxi driver pulled out in front of me and I had a head-on collision at 80 kilometers per hour with a taxi. And I went flying over that taxi and I landed on a bluestone curb. And that could have been it for me. And it should have been it for me. As a strong, healthy 17-year-old. Friend, what makes you think you're going to live to your 97? If I was you, take up the offer now. Why would you delay one moment? Take it up. It's a great offer. It's called the offer of forgiveness. And the amnesty is out there. Are you understanding what I'm saying so far? Do you know, when I tell people, well, let me back up. I travel a lot, and I'm often sitting next to someone, and I was recently heading off to New Zealand, and I was sitting next to a guy. He was a business owner, a really big business owner, this guy. He builds roads. And so he was telling me about his life, and then from telling me about his life, he starts telling me about his misdeeds behind his wife's back, and he starts telling me about the things that he's doing. Then he starts telling me how he's shifting money offshore. I think he had a few too many wines. And he was telling me things that you shouldn't be telling anybody. And he was just telling me sin after corrupt behavior. And then eventually he goes, so tell me, what do you do? I love that moment. Well, actually, I'm a priest. Because they don't understand pasta. They think it's like pasta bolognese, you know what I mean? So it's like pasta, what do you mean? What, something you eat, lasagna, what are you talking about? So I say, I'm a priest, but I'm married. And they're like, wow. And so you see him go, yeah, well, you know, those things that I've done are like behind me now. And, you know, and I do really love my wife. And nothing cuts a conversation shorter than that moment. Why? Because he hasn't done the amnesty yet. And so again, why would you want to hang out with the big policeman in the sky? And when you've got that going on in your life, friend, it's not pleasant. It's not a pleasant way to do life. Do you know, you can't avoid guilt. I'm not trying to say we can live a guilt-free life, because, you know, sometimes guilt is good. You know, when you've eaten your 18th eclair and you're feeling a bit guilty, yes, feel guilty, just a little bit. When you haven't picked up the kids for the 16th time in a row, feel a little bit guilty. I mean, it's okay to feel guilt sometimes. I feel guilt often, you know, wanting the Collingwood Football Club to just lose. That's not right. It's not right. I shouldn't want that. But listen, all jokes aside, some people in this room, you're sensing a guilt right now that is really deep and it's dark. And guess what? Some of it is a complete lie. You know, some there are some people in this room, your mum and dad divorced, and you feel that you're to blame for it. And you were just a child. And you feel guilty over it. I want to tell you right now, it wasn't your fault. And there are situations that have happened to people. You know, some of you have been in a divorce situation yourself, and you're feeling so guilty because you are now known as a divorced person, and you've even got to tick boxes that say you are. I just think it's terrible. And you feel really guilty about that. Because if we had a talk about it, it would actually seem that you really didn't play a big part in it. Maybe you played a little. But my point is this, you know, you can live a life that is full of guilt. And I want to tell you once again, that's not where God wants you to be. Well, listen, we make mistakes, but we've got a God in heaven who understands that. And he's actually made a way for us to be forgiven of every mistake that we have ever made. You know, the Bible doesn't really use the word guilt in that sense. It actually uses another word. It's actually a stronger word. It's the word condemnation. Does everyone know what that word means? Condemnation. To feel condemned. This is actually a dictionary meaning of the word. It says when we sense a strong disapproval of who we are. When we feel like we are judged and sentenced. Listen to this one. When we feel like we are unworthy of good things to happen to us. That's a sense of condemnation. Do you know, I know a woman that felt just like that. The Bible says that she was caught in the act of adultery. Caught in the act. And the Bible says that the religious leaders brought her. Did you notice they didn't bring the man? Just the woman. How terrible is that? And they bring the woman, and the Bible says that they stood her before the crowd. Have a look at what people and what religion does. It exposes you. With no heart and no love. This woman was broken, and all she received was humiliation. I want to tell you right now, God is not in the business of humiliating you. He's not in the business of humiliating. He's not in the business of embarrassing you. That's not what he wants to do. Some of us think, oh, if God just finds out what I'm up to, he knows. He's going to expose me. No, he won't. How do we know that? Because Jesus was there that day. And they brought this woman, and they said, Jesus, the Lord demands that we stone her. Now, some of us know this story. Actually, some of you may not know the story, but you know the saying. The Bible says that he stooped down and he began to write in the sand. No one knows what he was writing. But he stood up again and he said, he who has not sinned, you cast the first stone. And the Bible says that everyone stood there, and from the oldest to the youngest, the oldest first, because they've been living a little bit longer, so they've sinned a little bit more. The Bible says that the oldest began to walk away and say, well, I have sinned. So they left. And the Bible says that there was no one left. But you know, there was one person who was standing there that could have actually stoned her. Because Jesus said, he who has not sinned, and Jesus has never sinned. So Jesus could have picked up a big rock and said, you know what, I haven't, girl. And I'm going to stone you right now. But the Bible says, he says, woman, I do not condemn you. Wow! No condemnation. What a powerful man he is. He had every right to condemn, but he didn't. Listen, if you don't hear anything, please hear this. I can't promise you that people will not condemn you. I can't promise you that you won't condemn yourself. What I can promise you is that there is a Savior in heaven. His name is Jesus, and he will not condemn you because he has paid the price for you. He's paid it. It's done. Oh, nah, I still smoke bongs. Some of you older people are like, well, what is bong? Ask the young person beside you. Not him, the other one. Nah, I still smoke bongs. And Jesus died a long time ago. No, he actually died. Listen, it may give you psychosis. It's not good for your health. But Jesus paid for that. Because when he was dying on the cross, he didn't die for my sin and his sin and her sin. But you're bong smoking? Nah, I'm not paying for that, God. Not paying for the bongs. They can pay for it themselves. Sorry, there's hardly anyone in this room that smokes bongs. But if you do, you can at least say, man, God really spoke to me tonight. All right? We're being very specific tonight. We're being very specific. It's good to be specific sometimes. All right? To all you bong-smoking people, you're off the hook. Now, I'm not telling you it's good for you. I'm just telling you there's no condemnation. You know, recently I saw a picture. Are you getting something out of this? You know, recently I saw a picture. And I couldn't help but, well, I'll show you the picture. There's the picture. Does everyone know what that picture is of? No? Just the 12 disciples. You can count them. There's 12 of them. The 12 disciples. Look how holy they look. Look, these guys are the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Some of you have got pictures of this in your home. And no wonder we feel condemned sometimes because we think, you know what? I'm supposed to have a walk with God, but I don't look like that. I mean, do any of you walk around like that at work? I don't know. I don't walk around like that. But you know, now this is the honest truth. When I saw that picture, I couldn't help but laugh a little bit. A little bit. Because they look really holy there. But you know, on the far bottom right, that's Peter. And Peter looks very holy. But you know, when Jesus was on the earth, he was killing people. He actually chopped the guy's ear off. Did you know that? He denied Jesus 3 times. Denied him. And you know, at one stage, Jesus called him Satan. But when we see that picture, we see Peter. No, he needed forgiveness. He needed a little bit of no condemnation. Do you know who else is there? Let's see who else is there. Let me have a look here. Let's go with, I've got it written down here so I don't get it wrong for you because I don't want to accuse someone. Oh, Simon the Zealot. He was actually a terrorist who used to kill people. So there's Simon the Zealot. Yeah. And some of you are like, oh, this is an apostle. No, do this. Listen, he was a terrorist, but Jesus forgave him. But he used to be a terrorist. Yes. Look, read your Bible. He used to kill people, but Jesus forgave him. And he stopped killing people. He never did it ever again. But he used to. He used to. Listen to his name, Simon the Zealot. He used to, with zeal, kill people. He used to kill people who used to take tax from the Jewish people. Did you know that? That's what he used to do. So, oh, how about this guy? Do you remember John? Remember the Apostle John? So beautiful, the Apostle of Love. Do you know one day they walked past the city and because they didn't receive Jesus, do you know what John said? Jesus, can I please blow up the city? He said, Jesus, call down fire. Look, yeah, there he is there. Look at him. He's got his stick of dynamite ready to go. Yep. Why am I showing you this? Because we think everyone else is up here. And we are some dirty, rotten scoundrel that God can never use. Friends, it's a lie from the enemy, because these people had issues, but God changed their life. Just like he can change your life and my life. What about Matthew? He used to steal. He was a tax man. He's over here in the blue. He used to work for the ATO. Look. Yep. Yep, Matthew. What about Thomas up the top there? He was a doubter. Look at him. There you go. He's doubting. And we go, oh. Now don't put it up yet, guys. Don't put it up yet. Did they already put it up? There's always one, huh? Just like there was one here, too. Oh! Listen, hey, did you know that Jesus spent time with Judas just like he spent time with Peter? But do you know what happened there? Do you know Judas used to steal money from Jesus? Did you know that? And then eventually we know that he felt so bad that he actually killed himself. Right? Why am I telling you that? Please, 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 I want you to know, you may not be perfect, neither were these guys. Come on, can we go back to the original version? See that? God can make you that with one prayer. One prayer, God can make you that. Because when God sees you, he sees you like that. He doesn't see the terrorist and the thief and the man that used to cut off people's ears. He doesn't see that. Friend, I don't want you to be religious. I want you to be forgiven. I want you to be forgiven tonight. Please, 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 I beg you in Jesus' name, don't leave this place unforgiven. You don't have to pay your own fines. Jesus has paid it for you. But listen, you've got to take your ticket and go get forgiveness. What's your ticket? A prayer. A prayer from your heart that says, Jesus, I really, really, really want you in my life. Friend, the Bible puts it like this. There is now no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For those who are in Christ Jesus, how do you become in Christ Jesus? Do you want to be in? I want to challenge some people here. Is Jesus just someone that you visit on Easter and Christmas? Or is he your best friend? Oh, but please don't talk like this because I've got religion. I'm not talking about religion tonight. Is Jesus your friend? Do you have a relationship with him? You heard 17 people tell you they've got a relationship with Jesus. Did you notice they didn't talk about buildings? Did you notice they didn't talk about a necklace? Did you notice they didn't? All of them talked about a person, and his name's Jesus. His name's Jesus, and you can have a relationship with him, friend. I was raised in a mainline religion. But when I was 16, I gave my life to Jesus. And I've been walking with him ever since. Friend, I just want the same for you. I want you to be forgiven. Is that okay? That's all I really want for you. I want you to experience no condemnation.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.